Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Tuesday, July 10th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 83, fourth paragraph. If we are painstaking through, we will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. And the comments will start with the third sentence. We will comprehend the word serenity through four sentences and gain interest in our fellows. And the comments will be on those last four sentences. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Matt M., the 12 Traditions, Nancy T. Readers of the text are Elaine T., Sherry K.B., and Leslie W. The share ID for Monday, July 9th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 11,638. That's 11638. And for Tuesday, today, July 10th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 11,640, 11640. And our newcomer greeter is Melanie C. All right. Our OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions. And I will now ask Matt M. to read the 12 steps for us.
Thank you, Mo, for your service. Good morning, everyone. This is Matt M., a chronic compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Here are the steps that are adapted for Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a fearless and searching moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends of the all. 9. May direct amends to such people as when possible, except when to do so injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and apprentice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to serve as I pass.
Thank you, Matt M., and I will now ask Nancy T. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. Thank you, Mo. Nancy T., recovered compulsive overeater in Lewiston, Idaho this morning. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy T. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us, Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinent requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 83, starting with the fourth paragraph, reading through. We're in the promises. If we are painstaking through, we will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. The comments will start with the third sentence. We will comprehend the word serenity, reading through four sentences or commenting on four sentences, and gain interest in our fellows. And the comments will be just on those last four sentences. And I will ask Elaine T. to get us started. Thank you, Elaine.
Thanks, Mo. This is Elaine T., recovered just for today in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Thank you. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Wow. It never occurred to me to take this apart to such a degree, but I continue to see things in these paragraphs and learn as I go along. When I first came into program, I was lucky enough to manage to get to the ninth step and through the ninth step. I somehow didn't understand 9, 10, 11, and 12, but at least I got some of the promises. And but my magical mind thought that the sentence that talks about no matter how far down the scale we have gone, part of me was thinking that that meant weight loss. You know, and that lovely scale. And realizing that this was about alcoholics, I'm like, well, that can't be right, you know, but that's what I was thinking. And, you know, wondering what halfway through meant. Halfway through my life, halfway through my weight loss, halfway through the program, you know, the craziest thing. Serenity, I had no clue what serenity was. And, I didn't know peace because not working the program constantly, but rather trying to work the world, there was no peace. I was constantly at odds with life, having not understood the word acceptance either. I am still working on that. But I do know today that no matter how far down the scale I've gone, and it doesn't matter which scale, I have experiences that can benefit others. I love being a sponsor. I love seeing the light go on for someone else. And I am amazed at how the things that they say cause the light to go on still for me. So I am in awe of God's masterpiece here. The feeling of uselessness and self-pity. Uselessness, I've pretty much gotten rid of. Self-pity, yeah, you know, sometimes I fall back into that one. And but it doesn't last as long. And if I call a fellow, it doesn't last long at all, because as soon as I get a hold of someone else, they let me know where I'm at and help me pull myself out of that hole. And that's so wonderful. So I have a different life today. I'm no longer climbing the corporate ladder, thank you, God. And that was where most of my energy went, despite having a family and other things. I felt like that was my purpose. Now I know that my purpose is to help others to do whatever God has in mind for me. And I don't always know what that is. And I don't always have the patience to see what that is. But every day I try to put myself in those shoes and walk the walk that matches the talk. And I thank everyone in this program for their assistance in that. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Elaine T. And just to remind everybody where we are on page 83, starting with the fourth sentence. We will comprehend the word serenity, reading through four sentences there. We will be commenting on these four sentences, stopping with, and we will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. I'll take names for the of those who would like to share this morning.
Gina R.
Dorita P.
John K.
Roz G.
Robin P. M.
Roz G. Robin P. M.
Faith M.
All right.
Deanna B. from Chicago.
Okay, we'll stop there. All right, I have Gina. I've missed your last initial, but you'll give it to me. Dorita P., John K., Roz G., Robin P.M., or P.N., I'm not sure, Faith N., and Deanna P. Gina, you're on.
Thank you so much, Mo. This is Gina R., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body and compulsive eater in living in Green Valley, Arizona. What's happened to me with this process is having my feelings basically be right-sized. And as I was going through the process of learning how to weigh and measure my food, and I still do weigh and measure my food, other things in my life began to be weighed and measured. And what I realized was how out of proportion I was putting on feelings and thoughts. And so when it says here that feelings of uselessness and self-pity will disappear, what that means to me is it's something that flows in and flows out. What my character defect did with the feeling of uselessness and self-pity, my character defect of control was like a vice grip that clamped down on it and made sure that that feeling never left. Feelings are feelings. I am not a feeling. They flow in, they flow out. But by submitting to this process and this program and these steps as they're outlined and opening myself up to listening to my higher power directly and then through the fellows and through these meetings, I've been able to recognize when I'm using that vice grip in an inappropriate way. And so now, you know, instead of going through life with my hands, you know, clenched, fisted, you know, kind of in a down position, they're open, they're relaxed. You know, things just kind of flow in and out of my hands, kind of like, you know, just letting sand, you know, flit through your hand. And that's what happens for me now, especially with this. I know I have usefulness. I know I have purpose. And my higher power gives me opportunities every day for those to manifest. Sometimes it happens in very beautiful and serene ways, and other days it's very energetic, scary, and a little confusing. So serenity to me is being able to be in the middle of anything and not get too excited or too down about it one way or the other. Thank you so much for allowing me to share, and I look forward to the others. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Gina R. Dorita P., followed by John K.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Dorita P. from Cleveland, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm really grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason, and I'm so grateful that I have a seat here. Yes, I was thinking, should I share or not before the meeting started, and I feel like I would be remiss if I did not share. So I'm just really grateful. And so we will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. You know, that word comprehend is, I could really relate to that because I could not comprehend the word serenity. I would hear people talk about serenity or the word serenity and talk about peace, but I had no clue because I didn't feel it. And it's the same thing as, you know, a lot of times people say, I don't know if you guys have heard, but people would say, nothing tastes as good as abstinence feels. But you don't know that unless you've had some abstinence and know how that feels. Otherwise, they're just words, and you have no clue about what they mean. So I'm really grateful that I do know what serenity is today, and I do know what peace is today, and I've felt both of them. And in fact, I have a ring that says serenity that I wear sometimes. And so today, when my peace or serenity is disturbed, I know what that feels like. But before, you know, my whole life was chaotic, so... You know, I didn't know, like, I didn't know the difference. And no matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. And I like to say sometimes, no matter how far down the scale or up the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. And, everything happens for a reason. And today I know that. For example, just real quickly, I broke my foot about a year or so ago, and I had a friend that broke something, she injured something, and I was really able to relate to her. So I said, well, maybe the reason why I broke my foot, because when I broke it, I'm like, well, why me, why me? But, you know, after I was with her, I said, well, maybe that's the reason why I broke my foot, so that I could, you know, be sympathetic and empathize with her and be patient and kind and compassionate toward her. So I can go on and on for days and days about the promises or about this program. And for newcomers, I lost 100 pounds. Well, God took 100 pounds from me, and that was about 10 years ago. So not only did the weight come off, but it stayed off, stood off, I guess, and I'm just really grateful. So for new people, just keep coming back. If you find just a little bit of what I found, you'll be doing great because I found the world here. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for your service.
Yes, thank you, Dorita P. John K., followed by Roz G.
Good morning. This is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. You know, when it comes to serenity, you know, I didn't have, part of it was faith. I had no faith in anything. You know, I had the toughest job in the world, you know. Not only did I have to run my life, but I had to run yours and other people's and do my best to arrange everything to suit me, you know. You know, and it says in the book about, you know, wanting to suit everything to, arrange, you know, for my purposes. And I think that it implies a lot about ego, but for me, it was really about fear and about safety. I had to do everything myself. And I got this from a really rough childhood. And if I didn't watch out for things and prepare for things and backstop everything and try to arrange things, everything could fall apart. And I had no parent to help me in that respect. And I certainly had no God. I had no higher power. And, boy, you talk about a life that was anxiety-producing and exhausting and terrible. And you know, slowly in this program, I did find a faith. And in the beginning, it was just faith in the program. And that was because people told me if I did what they told me to do, I'd get what they promised. And it was true, which wasn't always the situation in my life before then. And that was the beginning, the little mustard seed of a faith that came. You know, the serenity came because I all of a sudden realized there was something else out there backstopping me in my life, and it wasn't me. And I could sort of kick back a little and trust it. And, you know, it says no matter how far down the scale, you know, I had some absolutely miserable years in and out of relapse. It was horrible. And today, you know, I think I try to use those years to help others to get out of relapse because it's like my passion now. Because I remember I think being in relapse was 10 times more miserable than not having found program at all. And so, you know, the thing that's changed there is that interest in our fellows, the getting out of the bondage of self, the whirlpool of self. You know, if it didn't have to do with me earlier in my life, I didn't care about it. You know, and I look back and realize part of this is again, the childhood I grew up in. I think I had to keep thinking about me because if I didn't obsess about it, I wasn't going to get my share and all that. And somehow I'd get shortchanged. And now I don't worry about it. I know the truth is that the more I think about others, the more my higher power backstops me, the more it sees I will get what I need and a lot more. I've gotten a lot more now that I don't worry about getting a lot more. And I think that's one of the things the program teaches. If I get out of myself, if I'm having a lousy day, I pick up the phone and call somebody. And I learned this from my old sponsor. If you're having a lousy day, you pick up the phone and call somebody. And you don't call somebody to tell them what a lousy day you're having. You call them up and say, how is your day going? And it sucks you out of yourself. And very often, you realize your problems are really small compared to other people's. And I just love this part of these pages. These next couple of pages are just absolutely the guts of this book as far as I'm considered. And with that, I pass. Nice to be back on the line. I've been a little busy and hard to get on. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, thank you, John K. Roz G. followed by Robin T.
Good morning. My name is Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles County. And when I think of, like, peace and serenity, real peace and serenity, I think of this, a picture of a bird in a nest with in a storm, and that the bird is protected, safe, sitting on her eggs while there's a storm all around her. And that is an example to me of what real peace and serenity is, because it's easy for me to experience peace and serenity when everything is calm and all the things around me are working like a well-oiled machine, and, you know, that's fine. But what I've learned in this program is that peace is an inside job, because the tools that I've been given, in the books about when these things crop up, fear and anxiety and resentment and all that stuff crops up, this is what you need to do in order to deal with that, to cope with that. And so now, right today, the person that hurt me the most in all the resentments that I had, and all the fears that I had, that one particular person, my ex-husband, who hurt me the most, is dying of kidney failure, you know. And he's under my roof right now because we're going to looking for an assisted living for him. And I was just telling my sponsor this morning, why am I not raging? Why am I not worried? Why am I not jealous? Why am I just moving on with my life and trying to help this person and extend kindness, peace, tolerance? Why? And she told me, because the miracles of the program are working for you, and what I'm hearing for you is peace of mind. And I cannot explain this to you. All I can say is that I've done what the book, and I am doing what the book tells me to do. I'm following the instructions that, you know, that it says on that first page, that the first 100 are, you know, had to do this in order to be recovered. And so I follow in that, in their footsteps, and it works. It really does, because today the things that are surrounding me are not so calm and peaceful, but with, deep within, down inside of me, my higher power is giving me the ability to have peace of mind all around, I mean, through it. So, yeah, it works. It really does. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz G. Robin P., followed by Faith M.
Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Los Angeles County. God bless everybody. Thank you so much for your shares. Oh, my gosh. I love this meeting. Oh, just like angels on parade. Anyway, the promises are, that's like my favorite part of the book, really. Because, and it says that these promises will come true sometimes fully, sometimes quickly, but they always come if you work for them. That's a really amazing promise about the promises. And, you know, I actually, I love the peace amid the storm because, so I'm an inventor and a serial inventor. I invented several things, and this is the first time I'm inventing something that's got a lot of manufacturing involved. And I have a meeting today with a manufacturer who's, I sold out of the first run, and this is the next run. And I used a different manufacturer because I thought it'd be better and more affordable, and he's way over budget. 2.5 months late, over 50, he's 5.5 pounds heavy on the product, all these issues, and I have to go and meet with him today. And I have done so many 10 steps on this, and, you know, I surrender. I'm just surrendered, and I have some anxiety about it, but I also have some peace. And I woke up this morning, and I heard the angels singing to me some beautiful, encouraging songs, and just they were running through my head. And I feel so much support, and, you know, so many people have been praying, and just it's so different than the way it used to be when I was self-will run riot by myself in isolation. And, you know, whatever is God's will, I have surrendered this. And that's how I get the peace amidst the storm, and that we'll know peace and serenity, because this is amazing. If you told me that I would feel peace and I would have nice songs running through my head this morning, you know, I'd be on a walk with my husband and my dog. Her name's Hope. So I get to have Hope and say Hope all the time. I really recommend having spiritual names for your dogs. But anyway, you know, I really get it that it's up to me what I do. It's my choice. It's not external. If I have peace or serenity, it's up to me to work my recovery. So I get to get out of myself, as people said, if I'm all, you know, and stay in this moment. Because in this moment, I'm not meeting with this guy. So if I'm in my head about meeting with him, then I'm missing this moment. So, and God is where my feet are. So I'm just so grateful to you all. God bless you in your recoveries, and thank you so much for letting me share it, Pat.
Thank you, Robin P. Faith M., followed by Deanna P.
Hi, this is Faith, recovering compulsive overeater in Northern California. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. So, you know, I love how we're breaking down the promises into sentences. You know, we do rush. People rush through them at the end of the meeting and read them, and I always think, slow down, this is good stuff, you know. But what really struck me to share on this morning was we comprehend the word serenity. You know, I think that, you know, I think this year in October, God willing, I left 32 years of abstinence. But, you know, sometimes I understand the word serenity and sometimes I don't. But I have such a better understanding of what serenity feels like. And I think comprehension for me, you know, I always talk about compulsive readers that were like the great feelers. And, you know, that feeling of serenity was something that eluded me. You know, my focus was always on something or someone else. something external that I could get. And most recently for me, there was some work situation that was completely all-consuming. And that situation has been removed. And one of the things that I found was that, you know, the discomfort of having it removed and then the feeling of relief, and probably in the last couple weeks, allowing serenity to be placed in the forefront has been so wonderful. You know, and I didn't come to this program with like this great thought of what I understood serenity to be. You know, and I think that's why I really wanted to call in this morning and just share about it, because, you know, I think that in over the years when I understood what serenity, it's come in different, you know, forms in different places. I'd get serenity from maybe something that, you know, I'd watch my higher power work in my life, or I'd sit and rest in my step three in turning my will and my life over to my higher power, or I'd stay at rest in, well, I guess 3 and 11 and watch my higher power do something for me that I couldn't do for myself, and I would be in awe. And, you know, I know when I'm in that space of serenity, I mean, this is what this program gives me. This is what abstinence gives me. This is what working with others gives me. This is what working the steps gives me. Every time I'm able to work the steps, I'm able to unbraid something that I couldn't unbraid on my own. You know, that's what these steps are for. That's my higher powers for. I'm not supposed to do this on my own. You know, the next part, it says, we will know peace. I am so grateful for the peace and serenity that I've gotten out of this program. It has given me peace through many, many storms, through, you know, losing my little brother. And that was a big one. That was huge. I can't say I'm necessarily peaceful about it, but I would say that I'm so much more peaceful than I was, you know, 5 years ago when this occurred. And I wouldn't have done it, thank you, without this program, without my higher power. But to even understand what those two things mean, to me, weight loss is great, but serenity and peace from the whirlwind of compulsive overeating, compulsive overthinking, has been amazing. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Faith M. Deanna P.
Thank you. My name is Deanna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. And thank you for your service and all the comments. And I don't get to speak on here very much. I'm usually driving. But I pulled over. You know, this book, as it says in the back, is meant to be suggestive only for today. But you better do it, is how I take it. Also, I was taught a long time ago that each step, each word, when I read it and I feel it, it's for today, because I have to do something every day for my program, for the program, in one way or another. And it's the same thing with the promises. When I read the promises, I say for today. And there's somebody in one of my meetings that reads the promises at times and says most of the time. And I like that, because it is a day at a time program, and most of the time the promises come true and are true for me. It's a miracle to me that I've been absent for 4.5 years. I've been in another program for 43 years, and I could never apply this program to it, but today I can. What I realize is when I don't have that peace and serenity, when I'm into self-pity and in self-seeking, I get very confused. I blamed it on the fact I was 80 years old, but that's not it. The thing is, I'm not connected. When I'm not connected to my higher power, I get all messed up, and I have been. I don't have a desire to pick up. I call my alcoholic foods. However, you know, that's out there for me if I don't do something. And I was just told this morning by someone I called that this dream I had of my granddaughter, who's on our way to Mexico to have bariatric surgery, I had this dream that a year, I talk about projecting, you know, 1 foot into the future, that her support system was not OA. And of course, to me, it's the only way. And they said, oh, you've done so well. Why don't you just have one bite? You can have it. And I'm thinking to myself, where am I going? And that's God telling me, I believe, that I need to let go. And one of the reasons I'm on here is just to share that. And to I've called a lot of people lately. I have no desire to pick up food. I mean, I'm in that, what's that? I'm in that no matter what club, no matter what. You know, I've had deaths in the 4.5 years. I've had open heart surgery. I've had a lot of things and trauma going on in my life.
I'm
like everybody. Thank you very much for timing me. And with that, just thanks for listening, and I'm glad I got on here. Thank you very much, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Deanna B. Just to let everybody know where we are, we're starting with the last sentence on page 83. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we're reading through four sentences and stopping with and gain interest in our fellows, and the comments are on these four sentences only. I will take another group of names.
Mary B.
J.R.
Mary, Lisa.
G.
G, thank you.
Eileen S.
Eileen S, was that Sherry?
Christine M.
Okay.
Judy B.
That's enough, okay. Judy B. All right, I have Mary G., Lisa J.R., Eileen S., Sherry K.B., Christine M., and Judy B. I hope we'll get through all of you. We'll see. Mary G., you're on.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your service. This is Mary G., recovered compulsive overeater from Arizona, currently in Minnesota. And the words that really just jumped out at me today were comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. I think for most of my life, I thought the only way I could have serenity is if everything was going my way and things were in order and things were fixed and everything was right. It was a perfect world in my mind. Unfortunately, it never brought me peace. And the most interesting thing when I look back is that if it got too peaceful, I would literally stir up things to become chaotic again, because that's where I felt comfortable. I remember the first time I read these promises and I went, oh my gosh, I actually have serenity. What an amazing experience. That word comprehend to me is I not only know it in my head, but I experience it in my life. And for me, serenity is not a feeling that, you know, I'm always feeling great. I'm feeling wonderful. Everything in my life is just perfect. That is not serenity to me. Serenity to me is accepting the fact that, you know, things aren't always going to be going my way. I will have uncomfortable feelings, uncomfortable fears, and yet I can still hold on to that because I have a way of living today by working these steps and reaching out to others who can help me get back to that peace, that serenity. And I also know that no matter what my feelings are, they are going to pass, and I simply don't have to act on them. I today will rather have my serenity than have my rights. I would rather have my serenity than have my judgments. I would rather have it than anything, because to me that is truly the most amazing gift. I don't have to be in charge anymore, and I'm just so grateful that, you know, I have actually had this experience. And, you know, today my reality is just so much better than anything I ever had before. And I just love the way that, you know, God in his great, amazing kindness has taken the crooked lines of my life and just made it straight and has brought me literally full circle in my life. And I'm just so grateful. Thank you for letting me share. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Mary G. Lisa J.R., followed by Eileen S.
Good morning, everybody. This is Lisa J.R., recovered by God's grace in Baltimore, Maryland. Thank you all so much for being here. You know, I used to be under the tyranny when I came into program. I was under the tyranny of perfection. Everything had to be perfect. And the irony was I was striving for these promises during that time, most of my life, striving for peace and serenity by micromanaging every single thing in my life. And, you know, it wasn't until I surrendered to the work in the book that I actually began to understand what they meant. You know, if I didn't have the perfect dinner party, if I didn't, you know, run the perfect 5K, you know, and win my age group, or I didn't win a race or other things, you know, I was living in the bedevilment. They were the promises of my disease, no doubt about it. And until somebody lit the lantern on this book, I didn't know there was another way. I thought somehow I'm failing at doing this. So, you know, I've begun to see, you know, I'm fascinated by the ocean, and I'm fascinated that a coconut can fall off a tree in Taiwan and float to Hawaii and become a beautiful coconut tree. And, you know, it goes through a typhoon, maybe, you know, it goes through calm seas, but it still floats. At the end of the day, it's still floating, and it makes its way there. And I'm going to go through storms. I'm going to have typhoons in my life. I just keep doing the job. I don't follow my emotional head. I follow my feet and my hands doing this work, and I maintain, even within the storms, a certain peace and serenity, and I'm so thankful for that. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa J.R., Eileen S., and followed by Kristen M., because Sherry K.B. has nicely passed. So, Eileen S., you're up next.
Thank you very much, Mo. Thank you. This is Eileen S. in Portland, Oregon. Thank you all so much for your shares. I've gotten so much out of it. And I love that we are taking a few sentences at a time out of this incredibly rich paragraph. It's just, yeah, yesterday when we started just doing a little bit, I was like, oh, wow. So we have time to really, really study it. And I've heard people before talk about how there's a certain word in a paragraph and it's repeated many times. And I just, for some reason, was moved by my higher power to count how many times the word we is in this paragraph. And if, unless I missed one, there's 11. And I didn't even count the hour. And there's a bunch of hour, too, O-U-R. And, yeah, we do this together, you know. And recently, I looked at this paragraph. I have worked the steps with my sponsor, and I'm relatively new in visions, and it is changing my life, and I'm so grateful for all of you. I learned so much from you. I looked at this, and I read, we will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. And I was like, oh, my God, I think I'm having a sense. I'm actually comprehending the word serenity and know peace, and that's profound, and I don't have it every moment. And I also read and felt that feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. And the biggie was we will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. And that, though I've had moments and glimpses of that, I went to myself, oh my God, I really, really have interest in my fellows and people I sponsor and others in program and in life. And that is just enormous, and I want to live in that. And I don't always live in that. We're not there yet, but fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us, and I have some economic fear right now. And it really kind of took me out for a couple of days, and I guess that's the reason I haven't been in touch with people as much as I needed to the last couple of days, and I kind of went south a bit. Though, thank God, my food is totally in order. I have neutrality with food today. But I haven't reached out in the ways that I need to. And so I have to remember that, you know, it doesn't say economic insecurity will leave us. It just says fear of economic insecurity. So I just, you know, I did an inventory on fear yesterday, a fear inventory. And, you know, I'm just giving this to God, you know. And so being with all of you and remembering my primary purpose and just being able to be with all of you in this and not handle it alone. I guess that's the reason I needed to look at all the we's, because sometimes I just go back into isolation. I need to figure this out and handle it alone. And that has never worked for me in any aspect of my life. So thank you, Mo. I'm just grateful to be here with all of you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Eileen S. Kristen M., followed by Judy B. We got 5 minutes. If you each take about 2.5, that would be perfect. Thank you.
My name's Christine M., grateful recovered in Missouri. Thank you, everyone on the line, for your continued love, support, and service. I appreciate this meeting so much. You know, for me, what really stands out to me is the self-pity. I know when I first came in and I was a victim. You know, look at what everybody's done to me. I play no part in anything. You know, if you got a couple hours, I'm going to sit down and tell you just how bad my life has been. And I was very comfortable there. I was very comfortable sitting in that victim role. It's all I knew. And, you know, I was also a victimizer, but I didn't know that before I did the spiritual work. So for me, being able to work the steps and see myself and see my life in its proper perspective and get right size, because that was the thing. I had that pride in reverse that the 12 and 12 talks about, to get right size and to know that, you know, maybe I was a victim when I was a child, but I didn't have to continue to be a victim. And also look at, you know, my part and how, you know, those defects were running my life and how I hurt others, you know. And today, you know, when I get in that self-pity, that victim role, it doesn't feel good anymore. I'm not comfortable there anymore. I'm like, oh, like I need to hop on the phone and do a 10-step ASAP, because, you know, if I sit in that long enough, you know, I'm going to convince myself that, you know, taking a bite is a solution. And even though the obsession has been lifted today, if I sit in that long enough, I will go back to the food. I know, because it's happened to me before. So to be in a place to be right-sized, a lot of the time, sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I go back to that or think that I'm better. And, you know, but it's nothing a good 10th step can't fix. And then getting reconnected with God in step 11 and practicing these principles and carrying the message to others. And that's just one of the many, many ways that these God and these steps have changed my life and inwardly rearranged me, which this book promises. Thank you so much, everybody on the line, and I pass.
Oh, perfect. 2.5 minutes, Christine. Thank you. Judy B., you're up. You'll be our last share for today.
Good morning. This is Judy B. from Burlington, Massachusetts. I'm so grateful to be here with you this morning. When I heard the promises read this morning, I just realized how much my life has changed since I've worked program. And I felt I had to share that. I'm so grateful to all of you who are on the line and who have supported this meeting and kept it going. It's just, it's a miracle, and I'm grateful. I've been feeling a little bit sad lately after losing a wonderful vision friend in program, and yet I realize how grateful I am that I had that relationship and that I was able to be present for another compulsive overeater. And the truth is that I do know serenity, and I do know peace. And even though I have feelings of sadness, I know that this peace and serenity is the basis of my life, and that I'm just so grateful for it. We will see how our experience can benefit others. I'm just so thankful that that I've been able to be there for others and to watch people change as they grow and to see the miracles that happen in this program. It's a beautiful thing. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Judy B., for being our last share. Our meeting is closed. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Sherry K.B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Mo. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.